Hey, this is pretty cool. You could flash on here at about 5 minutes till 12. John, you're almost done. Or something like that. Oh, good, a light. Good morning. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having us, and thank you for your support and prayers for Emmanuel Mission. Very much needed, and it's kind of our strength and comfort that we know. You know, we've been sent out by this church many years ago. We're there 24 years now. Actually, we went to Fellowship Bible Chapel, what's now Northwest or something, a little bit before we went. But we are commended from this, commended from this meeting. This is our home. So I don't get back as often as I maybe should or could, although it's difficult. It is 14 and a half. Last night it was 16 and a half hours yesterday. Thank you for the many cards and attendance at my mother's memorial. Those were just real special. Many comments about the power of a godly woman's life, and thank you for your support in that, both to me and to my sister and other family members. It's our spring break, and I had great plans. We have five seniors, three senior girls. All of the girls are believers. One of the boys perhaps is a believer. But last fall I had this idea, maybe these two really solid Christian girls should go to Emmaus. I love planning other people's lives. So, I says, I'd like to take you up there spring break. Oh, yeah, we would like to go. Yeah, that's a great idea. But as the time grew closer, family are saying, oh, that school's so far away. You got to understand, the Navajo culture is so family-oriented, and it's just so difficult for them to move long distances away. For Yvette and Fiat and those others to come to Hutchinson, that was a stretch. But to go to Emmaus, that's... So anyway, the two girls backed out. One just last night, Friday night. So my plans are sort of caving in here. But we decided to come anyway because we had all kinds of other things planned. So one of them being this meeting. So I didn't want to call Mike and say, hey, I'm not going to be there on Sunday. No, we wanted to be here. So we'll spend some time with grandkids in Topeka and so forth. So anyway, back to Emmanuel Mission. We have 83 students right now. As many of you know, we're a mission school on the Navajo Indian Reservation in the Four Corners area. And I like what we studied about in Sunday school. It was Andrew was talking about when they went over into Macedonia, it wasn't to change the culture. It wasn't to solve all their social ills. It was to bring them the gospel. And that's why we're at Emmanuel Mission, not so much to educate Navajo students, although we do a very good job of that. It's not to change the Navajo culture, although there's some things that need changing. By the way, there's a lot of things in our culture that need changing too. It's not to make the Navajo people into white people. That's what the missionaries used to do, try to acculturate, assimilate. It's to bring them the gospel. And what better... I mean, the school is a really good tool to do that. People in the community, and you got to understand, this is a sparsely populated community. Navajo people do not live in cities. They live rurally. And we're in a very remote area. But they want to send their kids to our school because they get a good education, because they learn morality, because it's a safe place, by and large. But we get this, share the gospel with 83 students every day. And many do come to the Lord. One of the senior girls got saved in kindergarten under Miss Jenny. You guys know Jenny. Maybe some of them under Rebecca. And so that's why we're there. The school year has gone very well. I've only had to expel one student. That was a junior high boy, and that's sometimes typical. Junior high boys, I don't know what's the matter with junior high boys. But the high school, the 18 high school students really, really want to be there. That, to me, that's kind of incredible that there would be 18 Navajo young people, 9 through 12th grade, that say, I want to learn memory verses. I want to sing Christian songs. I want to hear, they're not all believers, but many are, but they're, I was teaching them in Corinthians about what it is to be a baby Christian. And many of them are baby Christians, need to grow. And so we disciple them. We have a Tuesday night youth meeting that's well attended both by students and former students and some non-students from the community. We have a lot of nice young missionaries now. I'm sort of the Staleys and the Blooms are the senior, literally senior missionaries now. But there's a number of young staff who have a lot of energy, and the young people identify with them, so we're excited about those. We are losing our second grade teacher, Hannah Barr. This is her fourth year there. I think there's a young man in her life. She's not real open about this, but I think she's wanting to be sort of free to say yes. Any girls identify with that? She loves it at the mission, and she's an excellent teacher, even though she's not trained as a teacher. But we're excited for her. I think that's what's going to happen in the next year. So I need a second grade teacher for next year. So in your prayer meeting, when you're praying about Emmanuel Mission, particularly these next couple months, I'm going to be heavily into recruiting. So if I'm looking at you. You do not have to have an education degree, but it's best if you do have at least a bachelor's degree. Rebecca, you came without a degree, right? She was just going to be a teacher's aide, but we promoted her. But for our accreditation, we are an accredited school. It's almost required that every teacher have at least a bachelor's degree. So pray about that God would be bringing someone new to our staff that would be a good fit for us and for them. So pray about a second grade teacher. As far as I know, that's the only staff person we're losing. We have very, very dedicated staff. Our average tenure is about 11 years. That's pretty amazing for a mission situation. Of course, when Ruth and I are there 24 years, that kind of raises the average a little bit. But the other big prayer request is a new building project that we're going to be involved in. In fact, somebody called me the other day, Nick, or said, I think it was Jerry Neininger, John the Builder. And maybe that is sort of a legacy of mine. At the camp, I like to build things. And at the mission, we've built a lot of new buildings. I don't actually do the building, but I, again, like to recruit people to do the work. well, one of my goals since being there and particularly being in leadership, is to get rid of trailers. We don't want to be trailer trash. When Patty lived, how come we didn't do it when you were there, huh? Somebody, when Patty was there, she lived in a trailer, and one of the students said, "You're just trailer trash." They meant white trash, but they said trailer trash. Well, because the mission in years past hasn't had very much money. Well, it still doesn't have very much money, but to get something to live in for staff real quick, you move in a trailer. And 30 years later, the trailer is still there and deteriorated and so forth. So we have tried to get rid of mobile homes. So there's one trailer behind the school building there that's been there 25 years or 26 years. You didn't live in that one, did you? No.
No, but we live in one now.
Oh, you live in one? Oh, I see. It's probably an upscale one. Sometimes you sacrifice to live by your kids, I guess, right? Yeah. So we want to move that trailer out and build a duplex there, 2 one-bedroom apartment duplex. And we do that kind of labor, and the money for that comes from the youth groups in the summer or the spring. And since you guys aren't coming here this spring to the mission this spring, I don't know how the work's going to get done, but we've got to get the trailer moved and the site prepared, because one of the first groups in the summer is from Tulsa, and they're kind of prefabbing the whole frame, trusses and stuff. So anyway, we're trying to get that ready and pour cement and so anyway, pray about that, because that's a big project. I have 9 groups coming this summer. That's a pretty full summer for me. Organizing work projects and organizing BBS ministries and so forth. But it's exciting because I'm a goal-oriented, project-oriented, let's get the job done kind of guy, and I get jazzed when people come and say, "What can I do?" And we get a lot of stuff done. So pray about the summer ministry. It's a very effective ministry. In fact, we just invited all the families from last summer, and many of them we minister to year after year after year. They're families, Navajo families, that their kids aren't in our school. That's what we do in the summer. We try to reach out to families that are beyond the scope of our bus route. We're a day school and we run buses, and so we only have a limited area that we can have kids in our school. So in the summer we reach out way beyond 20, 30 miles away. So we invited them to come to the mission for an evening of activity and fun. And we had about 100 people come. They love to have groups come to their homes, and because the summer's so boring, there's nothing to do. And the kids are bored. And so when the youth groups come, and sometimes they do work projects at the homes, and we always have a BBS ministry. I pray about that as well, as the gospel reaches out. At least 2 or 3 were saved last summer through that ministry. So pretty exciting. So things are going well. We really feel God's blessing. Financially, things have been a little tighter maybe this year because of the economy, but God continues to provide. When we order a truck of propane, it's over $7,000 to get a 2,500 gallons of propane. And that lasts us in the winter, maybe a couple months, even a mild winter like we had this year. Then our bus gas, a truck of diesel, over $4,000, because diesel gas is over $4 a gallon. So those are big expenses that come up all too frequently. But fortunately we're a national, we draw nationally from a lot of churches across the United States and even Canada. But you could pray about that. Just my wife is the treasurer, the bookkeeper. So we have a kind of a daily finger on the needs of the mission. And one of the favorite parts of her job is when somebody sends a check, like the other day somebody sent $500 and said, just give this to whoever needs it. So Ruth kind of has her finger on that pulse, you know, who on the staff is not getting very much money. And by the way, our staff, by and large, does not give very much money. So she's able to funnel that to different ones who aren't that well supported, perhaps. She never gives it to us. No, we're plenty well supported. Hey, I'm retired now. I get a check from the government every month. What else do you want to know about? Yeah, Ruth? Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Solomon and Sarah's son, my fourth grade teacher. This is their fourth year there too as well, I think. From Emmaus, Dubuque, Iowa. I had a baby boy that you all knew, maybe. Eli, born around Thanksgiving time, with a cleft lip. Praise God, it wasn't a cleft palate, or not even a real serious cleft lip, but it's obvious, cleft lip. But tomorrow, the plastic surgeon is going to cut that and bring the skin over, and apparently it's a fairly routine, simple operation, but for a four-month-old baby to be put under anesthesia, and, you know, that's... pray for the parents, I'm sure. That's a hard thing to go through, but exciting to think that they can do that kind of thing now, you know, and there wasn't a serious... Immediately, he was able to nurse. That was a concern, that he wouldn't be able to nurse, and so anyway, the son's... baby is going to be operated on 9 o'clock tomorrow, I think. Mountain time, maybe Pacific time, I don't know. Is there anything... there's a newsletter coming, a new from me. So it'll maybe be in the Bodybuilder next week or something, but we're having a good school year. God is blessing. We're encouraged. Graduation is coming up real quick here with 5 seniors and 12 eighth graders. So, questions? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of you know Elron and Cherie from Hutchinson here. Waddell, doing very well. The kids really like Elron. I don't know why, but they really do. Well, he's young and, kind of funny maybe and, they have a little girl, Luthien. They were in a serious automobile accident just a couple weeks ago. And, broadsided right where Luthien was sitting. Broke her arm, so her arm's in a cast. But, amazingly, she was not killed. I guess those car seats really are, really do work. because it hit right where she was sitting. Praise God, she was... So they're doing well. They're coming, they're planning to be back next year. He teaches science and computer. He took over a lot of what Andrew Nelson was doing, and it's been a challenge for him, but he's handling it very well. Thank you for praying for Andrew, Elrond and Cherie Luthien. Yeah. Yeah, we have auto shop class in there every day with the 6 high school boys. Rex Daly has taught that for 3 years now. They're restoring a 1972 Chevy Chevelle or something that one of the students brought in. They're just getting ready to paint it. So they've done all the body work. They've rebuilt the engine. So they're learning a lot of that, you know, just real practical stuff. But Greg is pretty good at body work and painting of cars, so before school's out this year, they'll paint. We're probably not going to do it next year because we're going to teach Spanish and art, but probably the year after that, then we'll do it every few years. Some of you helped work on that big building. Amazing that our little mission could have a nice auto shop like that. So, okay, good. Well, if you have other questions, see us at lunch. Again, thank you for your support. I know a lot of the money here is designated, so some of you are specifically saying we would like to support the Blooms and Emmanuel Mission and Ransom and Luba Tom and Esther and some others. So thank you. Thank you for that. Romans chapter 5. Hope I can get done with this in 20 minutes. I thought I was going to get done early, but probably won't. We'll see. In our Bible class, I'm the high school Bible teacher. And so we've been going through Acts through Revelation. We're kind of on a 3-year cycle. Old Testament, up through about the Kings, and then the Gospels, and then the New Testament, Acts through Revelation. We don't do every book, but we've done Acts, and then we did Romans, and now we're in Philippians. So I want to take a little message out of Romans 5, and then another little message out of Philippians. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. So the first little thing I'd like to talk about is having peace with God. Paul frequently in the New Testament or other places in the New Testament tries to remind us of what we were before we were Christians. Or if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, the condition that you're in right now. And one way he describes that is that we were enemies of God. Enemies of God. God's not our enemy, but we're His enemy. Colossians puts it this way, you were hostile towards God. Ephesians chapter 2, the first part puts it this way, you were children of wrath. You were children of disobedience. Now, most people, if you ask them on the street, are you an enemy of God? They would say, no, I believe in God. I'm a good person. In fact, I was just thinking, New Year. It was nice to meet Al. He said he's here because somebody went door to door and invited him to the chapel. That's so exciting that, because I was thinking about going door to door in Nickerson many years ago. And a family, a husband and wife, invited us in, and I was sharing the gospel with the man particularly, was very interested. And I was describing to him, I said, all have sinned. You're a sinner. We're God's enemies. And the wife, she sort of got all huffy. She said, what right do you have to come in here and talk about how bad my husband's a good man? She didn't understand. He was beginning to understand. Yes, I'm an enemy of God. I'm a sinful person. My righteousness, the things that I think are good are just like filthy rags. They're not really good deeds. Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So because we are enemies of God, There has to be a reconciliation. That's a big, big word. That just means there has to be peace made. When two nations are fighting against each other, there has to be peace, reconciliation. Well, since we're fighting against God, there's no peace with God. But the Scripture says, now being justified by faith, the Scripture says, God has reconciled us to Himself. God has made peace. Jesus is our peace. He has reconciled us and made peace through the blood of His cross. That's somewhere else in Romans. No, that's in Ephesians chapter 3. So here's a good illustration of that. I don't know if you've heard of Don Richardson, and he wrote a book called Peace Child, or he wrote another book called Eternity in Their Hearts. He's a missionary who went to Indonesia, maybe sort of in the same area where Phil and Gail Fields minister, in one of those primitive tribes called the Sawi people. This is back in the 60s. And Don believed that in every culture, particularly primitive cultures, that there's something in the culture that can be used to demonstrate God's love or God's salvation. Although I was just reading online the other day that he's investigated the Muslim religion and culture, and he says there's nothing in the Muslim religion that can bridge over to Christianity because it's totally satanic. But in the Sawi culture, it was interesting that as he shared the gospel story, they got all excited when they heard about Judas. Because in the Sawi culture, the greatest achievement was to be a betrayer, to trick the enemy, to make them think you were going to make peace and then kill them. So Judas, when they heard that Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, all right. Jesus was just duped. Jesus was just a wimp, and Judas was the hero because he fit into their cultural idea of a hero. So the Richardsons, after hearing this, and the Sawi people were always fighting with each other, tribes and different people, and revenge killings and all this kind of thing, they decided they were going to leave. But the Sawi people, they didn't want them to leave, so they decided that they were going to make peace among themselves. And their way, their greatest way of showing peace, that they were not going to be the traitor, they were not going to be the deceiver, was for the chief of one tribe, or one part of the tribe, to give his child to the chief of the other tribe. And that was called the peace child. And when that child was given, then they knew that he would not come and attack them because his own child was there. And Don Richardson said, aha! Hey, you Sawi people. God sent His Son as a peace offering, as a peace child to His enemies, us, the people of this earth. And if you receive that peace child, you can have peace with God. Isn't that incredible that we, the sinful, depraved, yes, totally depraved, enemies of God, can have peace with God? Can be reconciled to God? Can now no longer be His enemies, but His children, His friends? His family. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we who were far off have been brought near. That we who were hostile are now at peace with God. That's amazing. And God did it through His peace child, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever, sometimes as a Christian, think you kind of deserve to be a Christian? Or God saved you because, you know, I wasn't that bad. No. God never wants us to forget what He saved us from. Who we were. In a sense, maybe not actually. I mean, I was saved when I was 8 years old, so. But even at eight, I was God's enemy, even because of my heart. Don't ever forget where you came from. Don't ever forget what God has saved you from. And that's why we worship Him. That's why we offer Him thanks, so great a thanksgiving. Because of what God has done for us. Okay, that's the first little message. Now turn to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May I say to you that there's a lot of people who have peace with God. They're Christians. But they don't have the peace of God. Romans chapter 5 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We've been reconciled. We're no longer His enemy. But Paul in Philippians chapter 4 says there's a greater step. There's another kind of peace that we need as Christians. And that's the peace of God. The confidence, the assurance that God is in control. Because basically, if you're, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, dear. I'm so worried. Then what you're saying is, you don't trust God. Yeah, you've trusted Him for salvation. But are you trusting Him for the future? For your finances? For your children or grandchildren? For all those things that we fret and worry about unneedlessly? Somebody has estimated, and I don't know where they get the figure, that about 90% of the things we worry about never come to pass. And yet we spend so much energy and so much wringing of our hands. Not literally, probably, but you know what I mean. On things that are never going to happen. And even if they did happen, God is in control. I I think it was Bill Gothard who defined worry as this: taking on responsibility that God never intended us to have. When we worry about the future, what's going to happen tomorrow? Then really, we're taking on the responsibility of God, which He never intended us to have. Now, I believe it's okay to be a concerned parent or person. But often we justify worry by calling it concern. And may I say to you, worry is sin. Romans 15. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Not trusting God is sin. Not letting God be God is sin. The command here is don't worry. Jesus Himself said the same thing. Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry about the food. God feeds the sparrows, He'll feed you. Don't worry about your clothes. And probably most of us don't worry about our clothes, at least us men. But God clothes the lilies or the flowers. Can't He clothe you? They're much prettier than you anyway. Don't worry about tomorrow. Well, in many ways, that's easier said than done. But let's look at, I'll read to you, hymn 286 in the Black Book. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. By the way, if you have young children, babies, Rebecca has a baby. Oh, she left with the baby. When Davy was first born, he was maybe, 6 months old or whatever, we sang this hymn to him every night. It's sort of like a lullaby. And it put him to sleep. Maybe it was my singing, I don't know. But this is a very, I don't think it's because of the tune, but I think it's because of the truth. But anyway, this is a great little hymn. 5 one-line verses. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. This is an evil place, isn't it? There is a lot of evil in this world. And I think, as Andrew was saying in Sunday school, you could spend all day reading about the evil in this world. And you could get sort of paranoid. You could worry, is something evil going to happen to me or to my family? Doesn't mean we shouldn't protect our children or be safe. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Even in a very evil world, and it's probably going to get worse. Well, it's surely going to get worse. We can have peace, knowing that God is in control. And Christians get murdered. Christians get robbed. Christians die in Afghanistan. We're not shielded or protected from all of that evil all the time. So do we worry about it? Do we fret and fume about it? God says no. I'm in control, even of the evil in this world. It's okay to pray for protection. It's okay to pray for safety and travel. But sometimes God allows horrible things to happen to His children. But we have the promise that all things work together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. So the answer is not to worry about what's going to happen when we step out that door. Or God forbid, if someone should come in and start shooting. I mean, that happens in churches and schools. But we trust in an all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving God. It's hard. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed. Often we worry about, how can I get everything done? busy. Well, one practical thing, of course, is just to make a list and mark things off the list and you'll probably sleep better. I learned that a long time ago. Keep a journal, day book or whatever. But look at the answer here. To do the will of Jesus, this is rest. So in our busyness or in our activities or what we're planning for the day, is it in God's will? Is it what God would have me be doing? And a lot of that just comes from saying, God, I give you this day. I give you my activities of this day. May they be done in your will. May they be done in your power. Instead of worrying about how I'm going to get everything done or what's going to happen, just, God, I give you this day. I give you my life. I want to do the will of God. When you're in the will of God, there's peace. There's rest, even in busyness or activity. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round. This is not the evil of verse 1, but this is the hardship of a death in the family. Or a child that is sick. Oh, I just can't imagine what the Horns went through with Eli Horn. Were any of you on that prayer? Little Eli Horn just died recently from cancer. Fought that battle for 4 or 5 years. Another little girl, I can't remember her name. Children of Christians die sometimes. My sister, Jonathan David, 2 weeks old. She just got to hold him a few times. Can you have peace in those kinds of circumstances? Yes! In Jesus' bosom, not but calm is found. I don't know how unbelievers make it through life. There's a lot of funerals in our church. A lot of funerals of unbelievers. It seems like the Navajo people don't want to have anything to do with Christianity until someone dies. And then they want the funeral in the church. But it's so obvious that there's no comfort, there's no peace, because there's wailing and crying and throwing themselves on the coffin. And without Jesus, that's all there is sorrow and hopelessness. On Jesus' bosom. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for being my comfort, for being my hope, for being my... You know what kids do when they get hurt, right? Mommy! Mommy! And mommy hugs them. They don't always want daddy, do they? No, mommy. Because mommy hugs them and mommy says, oh, it's going to be okay, my baby. So God says, there's peace in the midst of sorrow. And if God brings sorrow your way, know that He's there with you. He's there holding you. Peace, perfect peace with loved ones far away. Man, I think my kids are far away. Their kids are in China. Man, I guess praise the Lord for email. At least it gets there fairly quickly, but and for airplanes that can get you there. But it's tough to be far away from loved ones. In Jesus' keeping, we are safe and they. Christian loved ones have accidents. We pray for safety and travel, and God often grants that. But even if there's an accident, you're still safe. Because you're in God's hands. And God forbid it. Well, I maybe shouldn't even say it that way. If God should take one of my children or my grandchildren to heaven early, they're still safe. Maybe safer. My mother and father are safe in the hands of Jesus. So I don't worry. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, you better not go out. Something bad might happen to you. We see that so much in the Navajo Code. So much fear. Uncertainty. Worry. Not to be true of Christians. Trust. Faith. Confidence. Last one. Peace, perfect peace, our future, all unknown. That's another thing people worry about. What's going to happen to this world? What's going to happen? Economy. Next president. Oh, this is the most important election in the history of the United States. If you elect the wrong person, the... Well, it probably is an important election, but in the big scheme of things... Anyway. Our future all unknown. Jesus we know. And He is on the throne. What an amazing thing that we can have peace with God. But maybe just as amazing is that we as the children of God can go through life. We who know the God of peace can have the peace of God. Incredible. In such an evil, uncertain world, we march through with confidence. We know God is on the throne. We know God is in control. And we know that whatever happens, it's not an accident. Not an accident, but part of God's perfect plan for you and for me. Isn't that incredible? Let's pray. And I guess we'll pray for the food as well. Sorry, I went over just a little. Thank you, God. Thank you that You love us. Thank You that You, in Your love, reconciled us unto Yourself. You made peace with the enemy by sending the peace child, the Lord Jesus. And God, just, it's so incredible that we in the storms of life hear You whisper, peace, be still. Help us, God, to trust You no matter what comes. Help us, God, not to worry, not to fret, but to trust and believe and have confidence in the God of peace. This peace is beyond understanding, but it says it will control your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.